Let us open Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Actually, for sake of time, because today's communion, we can read 14 to 17 only, because that's the main point for today. 14 to 17. The title, it's The Armor of God, Part 2. Last week, we went through Part 1. If you have missed it, you can go to the internet. There is the audio there of the first part. Ephesians 6, verse 14 to 17 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The Armor of God, Part 2. This is the accessories of the armor. Okay? We checked 3 points last week. The accessories of the armor is the second point, which I separate for this sermon so we could dive into it and get the most out of it. I believe there is a good-looking soldier behind me. There is. I call him good-looking because you can't see him. You know, a man doesn't tell another man he's good-looking. You know? Law of the Murphy, law of life. So, it's just for showing, because the armor described here, it's a little bit different. But that's a good picture. Let's go straight to the point. Verse 14, belt of truth. Belt of truth. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus Christ, the truth himself. He asked Jesus, "What is the truth? What is truth?" And Jesus, who is the truth himself, stand quiet. Because everything Pontius Pilate needed, it was in front of him, the truth. And the same question Pontius Pilate asked to Jesus, I have seen Christians struggling with. I have some friends of mine, and I have been in that place as well, that I was scared of studying. I was scared of biology. I was scared of history, of anthropology, because I was afraid. What if they find out something? What if science tells something that it's different from the Bible? What if? I see some Christians scared just as I was. But Christians should not be scared and afraid about the truth. Guess why? Every truth is God's truth. No matter where you find it. If you go to science and you find truth, believe me, that's God's truth. If you go to anthropology and find truth, that's God's truth. Everything that it's truth, it is God's truth. We should not be afraid. 2 + 2 = 4. That's truth. That's God's truth. 2 + 2 = 10 in crazy binary technology computer Kevin world. If it is truth, it's God's truth. Evolution, it's truth. No, it's not. So you don't need to be afraid of that. Hundreds and billions of genders. Not 2 genders, just like biology tells you it is. Don't be afraid. It is not truth. Don't be afraid of the truth. If it's truth, it is God's truth. If it's contrary to the Bible, trust me, it is not truth. It is just a myth. It is just an opinion. It is just an article. It is anything but the truth. So do not be afraid of the truth. Do not ask the same question Pontius Pilate asked. What is the truth? Because the truth, it is found in scriptures. And the truth, you can't go wrong against it. With that being said, our fear of the truth away, our fear as a Christian is going away, let us see what is the belt. And I know the language here, it's war language, but I want to make a language that it's very easy for all of us to understand. When you go to the car, what do? You fasten the belt. And that makes you stay in the right spot, in the right place. What is the Apostle Paul teaching us here? The world is crazy. It's everywhere. It is out of place. Therefore, fasten your belts in the truth. Fasten your belt in the scriptures. The world gonna go astray and you're gonna be on your spot safe. Easy and peasy. Is that clear? That's what he's saying. And that's why it's the belt of truth. Because only the truth can hold you there. If it's a lie, we have a saying in Brazil that it's the same here. Lie has a short life, right? It's quick. Yeah, but the truth, it's everlasting. The truth is this belt that can hold you in life. This is the first point, the belt of truth. Second one is still in verse 14, breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And I want you to picture the good-looking soldier going to war without a breastplate, without the bulletproof breastplate, vest in him. He would be almost an easy prey to die. Just shoot at him and he's dead. Because he has not the bulletproof, he has not the breastplate on him. The Apostle Paul is calling the breastplate of righteousness. Because just as the breastplate protects your vital organs, spiritually speaking, righteousness protects your vital organ, which is your conscience. Let us understand this. The devil comes to you and says you're not loved. But if you have the breastplate of righteousness in your conscience, you're safe. You're going to say, I know Jesus loves me. If the devil comes to you and say you're not saved, and you have the righteous breastplate on your conscience, you say, I know I'm saved. If he says, you're not forgiven, you're not a child of God, but if you have the breastplate of righteousness protecting your conscience, you're saying, I know whose I am, I know whose I am, son, I know I was forgiven and justified. You see how it protects the vital part of your spiritual life, which is your conscience. Which is where the enemy attacks the most, the breastplate of righteousness. And very quick, I need you to turn to Romans in order that we understand what it's righteousness. Righteousness, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Chapter 3 of Romans, just turn two pages. Chapter 3, verse 21. So first, righteousness comes by faith. Secondly, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe in Him. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are made righteous. Let us see chapter 4, verse 6. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Righteousness clears you up. You are not in debt anymore. The Lord will never count against you your own sins. This is the blessedness you have when you know your righteousness. And finally, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can come back to Ephesians chapter 6. If you have all of this that we just read in your conscience, you're safe. You have the breastplate of righteousness covering your life. Nothing the devil can throw at you is going to affect you. If his bullets come to you, you are protected and safe, because you truly understood that you are made righteous. You are in a good legal standing with God. You don't need to be afraid of God. Guess why? Because He is on your side. That's righteousness. Truth of belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness. The third one, shoes of the gospel. That's verse 15 in Ephesians chapter 6. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I want to highlight this word, readiness. Readiness. And we are talking about shoes, and I know this is an immigrant church. You know, if you go to the work site, construction site, you need safety shoes. You need safety boots. You need steel toes. Something may fall on your toes. It needs to be protected. I don't know this guy. This must be thick and strong, because if you step on the nail, your feet is protected. So the only way you can work in construction site, it is if you have a safety shoes. That's readiness. You're ready to work in construction when you have a safety boots. The Apostle Paul is using the same word here for the gospel. Ready to preach the gospel. You are ready, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Wait a minute. I thought preaching the gospel was only about me speaking. That's it. I just need to be bold. I just need to have a willpower, and that's all I need. No. Be ready to preach the gospel. What is he teaching us? In order to preach the gospel, make sure first you have a genuine faith. Make sure that you first are a true Christian. Make sure that you have a testimony. Make sure that it's not you yourself calling yourself a Christian. Make sure that people around you are calling you a Christian. Make sure that your faith is genuine. Then you have a testimony, and then you share the gospel. Then you're ready to talk about the gospel. Then you're sharing the truth that it's truly dwelling in your heart. It's not something you heard about it. It's not something you're only seeing. It's not something you have an opinion of. It's something that it's genuine in your heart. Therefore, now you're ready to share the gospel. It's your testimony. It's my testimony. And he uses the word readiness, and he uses the word feet. And the Bible uses simple language. If you talk about the feet, you're talking about going. You're talking about walking. You're talking about you're gonna go to wherever it is needed, and you're gonna actually do the thing. And that teaches something that we misunderstand so much. And I use the word we, and I mean the word we, which I include myself. Sometimes as a pastor, I think that the agenda of the church, it is to invite people to the church. You come to the church. You put the sandals, prepare your feet to come to the church. But that's not what the text is teaching us. The text is teaching me the opposite. Gustavo, you put your sandals ready because you're going to need to go out. It's not them coming to you. It's you going to them to preach the gospel. This is the agenda of the church. And sometimes we invert it. Sometimes we stay in. Sometimes we stay locked. Sometimes we stay in the comfortable zone. Send a little invitation. And I did my part. And I did my duty. No. Go out there and preach the gospel. Go out there and drag them. Go out there, be ready out there, and share the good news. This is church agenda. Jesus preached in the synagogue. Jesus preached in the desert. Jesus preached in the mountains. Everywhere. That's his agenda, and that's our agenda that most of the time we have this mistake and misconcept. This is the third accessory, the readiness to preach the gospel. Fourth, shield of faith. It's found in verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see that the word is arrows with a S at the end, plural. There is not only one arrow. There are arrows. Temptations, anxieties, lies, doubts, attacks, heresies, you name it. Whatever the way, whatever the place, whatever the time, there is a way the enemy, which is the devil, he's throwing his arrows, darts in the church and in you. And if you see here, it is flaming arrows. Flaming arrows. And what is that? The arrow go, and the arrow gonna hit the point. But that's not gonna be the only damage. There is a second damage, which is the fire. And the second damage, he has two intentions. One, it spreads quickly, but also it stays after the arrow. That's complicated, right? So let us make very easy for us. Temptations, they are usually like this. They knock at our door. They knock in our hearts. They knock in the TV. They knock everywhere. Do this. Take this way. Accept that. And you are a good Christian, and you say no. Because you're a good Christian, and because I'm a good Christian, and we honor our Lord Jesus, it knocks, we say no, thank you. And we leave. But guess what? That was only the arrow. There is still the flame. And then 4 hours later, the sparkling of the flame, it's still here. You know, it was actually a good opportunity. You know, maybe it was right. You know, maybe that's the best way. The knocking, the arrow hit you 4 hours ago, but the sparkling of the flame still here 4 hours later. Sometimes days later. Sometimes when you are the most upset, when you failed in life, when you followed the right path and the right path didn't work the way you wanted, the flame is still there. That's what flaming arrow means. Now it's clear? Does that happens to everybody, or I'm the only person who is tempted? So, how do we defend ourselves? With the shield of faith. And just as the arrows talk about many things, faith, it's also, it's only one faith, but it's a huge concept. We tend to think about faith only intellectually. But let's give us three examples touching different aspects of life. Spiritually, the world worships money, worship the self, worship glamour, fame. Those are arrows. And how do we put our shield of faith? We worship Jesus alone. We worship only God alone. That's it. Period. That's spiritually faith against a spiritual dart. Ethical, moral, morality. Stealing, lying, you name it. Those are moral arrows, and we should show up our faith in morality, in ethics, to stop those arrows. Intellectually, it is the same. The world comes with evolution, destroying the family, atheism, don't believe in God, or if you believe in God, believe in all the gods. There's no right and wrong. They come with those arrows intellectually. We stand firm with the faith of the Bible. We come back to scriptures and we tell them it is written. Faith intellectually, the shield of faith. So every area, we should put on the shield of faith. Quick recap, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and fourth, shield of faith. The last two, it's found in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, obviously protection. We all agree with that. But I want to bring you the other side of the coin. We talked too much about protection already. Now let's talk about identity. If you go to the GO train and you see a blue hat and you see a bird in it, what do you know? I didn't hear. Blue Jays. That person is going to the baseball game. Yes or yes? Identity. Helmet of salvation. The Apostle Paul is making a direct point here. Put on the helmet of salvation. You're God's people. You are in the right side. You belong to the right army. You are in the winner team. Don't let that truth, don't let that helmet out of your life. Understand it. Own it. Take hold of it. And with that being said, as a minister, this is the thing that I always need to caution people. Because there are two extremes. There are those who are saved, but they don't put on the helmet of salvation. They live their lives afraid. They're afraid to go to hell. They're afraid to die. They're afraid of the judgment. They never understood that God saved them. They never understood that their sins were forgiven. They are genuine Christians, devoted people, born again, but live afraid. If I could give an illustration, it's just like a millionaire who is super cheap. He can have everything, but live miserably. That's the same way. Sometimes the person is saved, born again, but lives in a miserable spiritual life because didn't put the helmet of salvation on. This is one extreme. And that leads this person, it's in the good side of the extreme. It's the less bad one. The other extreme, it's terrifying. It is the churchgoer. It is the guy who has the right response in the tip of the mouth. It is the guy who Christianity he's comfortable with. But if you check his heart, if you check his life, he was never born again. The life lacks fruit. The life lacks essence. The life lacks genuinity. Churchgoer knows the basics of Christianity, but deep within his heart, never born again. Gustavo, is that possible? Let's name one guy very famous, Judas. Walk with Jesus, called as a disciple, was the treasure of the church, yet never born again. Thinks he has the helmet of salvation, but he is deceiving himself. We don't want both of these extremes. What is the Apostle Paul telling both of these extremes? Put on the helmet of salvation. For you who are living a fake Christian life, put on the helmet of salvation. Repent, truly repent. Open your heart, truly open your heart for Christ. Be born again, truly. And to the other one, who is kind of shy, who is afraid, but he has a genuine faith, take hold of your salvation. There is an inheritance. There is a kingdom that belongs to you. You're safe. Don't be afraid. take hold of your salvation. The Apostle Paul had to tell this to Timothy. Saved person, great man of God, but still a little bit shy. The Apostle Paul sends him a letter. Take hold of your salvation, Timothy. Put the helmet of salvation on. You're saved. That's your identity. Don't miss that. The helmet of salvation. Finally and lastly, the Word of God, the Sword of God. Yeah, in my notes, it's very cool. I put the S of sword, I put on brackets, and I put word caps, like sword, merging the two of them. You see how creative I am? Super. The sword of God. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let us understand this. The sword of the Spirit, it is the word of God. Let us understand this so we don't misquote it and misinterpret it. Okay? What is the Apostle Paul teaching us here? He's teaching us two things. The second one is very nice. Let's go for the first one here. If the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit is God, therefore he's saying that the Bible is the Word of God, that the Bible is perfect, that the Bible is inerrant, it's unfailable, it is timeless. That's what he's saying. Some people believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. You see the slightly difference? The Bible is the Word of God against the Bible contains the Word of God. So the Bible is the Word of God. The ones who believe the Bible contains the Word of God are the ones who say this: love, salvation, beautiful teachings, cute things, it is the Word of God. Hard things, wars, hell, condemnation, that's man-made. That's not God. So they pick and choose what is the Word of God, because they don't understand that the Bible is the Word of God. Very, very different from containing the Word of God. If the Bible is closed, it is the Word of God. If I read, it is the Word of God. If I believe, it is the Word of God. If I don't believe, it is still the Word of God. It doesn't change. The Bible is the Word of God. The Sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. And the second thing he's teaching us is this. You remember Jesus when he was tempted, how he counterattacked the devil? He says, it is written. It is written. It is written. And Jesus didn't have a book with him. He didn't bring the book with him. Where was the Word of God? In his mouth. Example, illustration. If I open this one, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's Psalm 23, verse 1. Written. Is that the Word of God? Yes or yes? Now I'm closing. And now I'm quoting, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am not perfect, I am not God, but hear what I'm saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is this the word of God? That's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. Read this Bible. Let it sink within. Until the point, you reach the point that Jesus did, where the word of God is in his lips, in his tongue. When the word of God becomes a sword in your mouth. Not only to defeat the enemy, but also to nourish people. Imagine you find someone on the streets and the person needs a word from God. Not a word from you, not a good advice, but a word from God. But I am not acquainted as much with the word. Therefore, the word's not in my lips. Therefore, I need to say, I'm praying for you. That's the max I can do. Why? Because I didn't do my duty to have this word in my heart and in my lips. The person is going through a tough time. I can tell him, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. I just know how to quote this one in English. I know more in Portuguese. But that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. Let the word of God become a sword in your lips. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Let me see. It's time to close up. Just to conclusion, very good reminder. This is not something you pick and choose. This is not something you need to remind yourself every morning or every night. This is something that should be dwelling in your heart. Your strong and core beliefs, righteousness, salvation, faith, preaching the gospel, these things must be natural to you. And the only way we can do that, it's diving into scriptures. Amen? Amen.